If you turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, reading verses 13, 14, 15. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, and the verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and the verse 15. Again, three short verses. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And then reverting back to Mark chapter 10, the short passage, one of the short passages we read just at the dedication service. So here we have three recordings of this wonderful incident of the Lord Jesus Christ receiving little children. And since it has been a while now, since we have had a dedication in this church, I felt it would be good for us to consider at this morning meeting bringing children to Christ. It's not often that we major on this theme. It's not a theme that is popular and not one that is often mentioned in our land today. But it is vitally important and a great work, the bringing of little ones to Christ. We're always delighted when parents come with a request to have their children dedicated in a service such as this. It's an indication of a desire on the part of the parents that their child receives the blessing of God. It's an indication that they have a concern for their little ones to see them brought up in the fear of the Lord. And that is good, to be encouraged, and I trust that it will continue to be an encouragement in the days which lie ahead. And of all the word pictures presented to us in the four Gospels, this surely is one of the most beautiful, isn't it? With very little effort or even imagination, we can picture the scene. It is true, of course, that it may not have been only the mothers, but fathers, family and friends, even grandparents, nannies, and so on, who brought these children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a scene we have here. Picture the Lord Jesus and the gathering of adults bringing children to the Savior, that he might bless them, that he might touch them, pray for them, and that they might be enriched. Whatever or whoever it was that brought these little ones to Christ, the Savior gladly received them, and he took the children into his arms, and we're told he blessed them. And the very fact that the three evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record this shows the importance of this incident in the days of Christ's ministry here upon the earth. What lessons can we learn from this incident? What teaching can we receive from it? Can we think of a greater privilege than to bring a little child to the Lord Jesus? What greater privilege is there upon this earth than bringing a little one to Christ? Whether that's in your home, or in the church, or in the Sabbath school, or in the children's meeting, the blessed and greatest privilege is to bring a little one to Christ. You ever thought about that? Do you pray for those who labor amongst the little ones? Have you a concern and a desire in your heart to see them weaned away from the world and led to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? What then about the responsibility? For every child needs to be brought to Christ. They need to be taught that the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that he gave his life a ransom for sinners. They need to learn their need, that they are sinners, and they need to learn to come to the Lord Jesus. And we think of the danger of hindering the little ones. Even the disciples, we're told, hindered the parents or those who brought the children. They thought that they were taking up the Savior's time. They thought that it was a waste of time, delaying the Savior on his journey with the presentation of children to Christ. The Lord had rebuked those who hindered the little ones and hindered those who brought them. And he had to rebuke even his very disciples for hindering those who brought the children. That is a great warning to us, isn't it? And beware, even though you're a Christian father, a Christian mother, a Christian grandparent, a member of the church, take heed and beware lest you hinder some little one from coming to Jesus Christ. Examine your ways. Examine your life. Examine your manner of living. And ask the Lord to make you a witness, even a signpost that children can read, and that they'll see the Lord Jesus in your life and in mine. We might well ask the question, who then are to bring the children to Christ? Does it mean a select few? Does it mean a particular people? Whose then is the wonderful privilege and responsibility of doing this wonderful work? Mark 10, verse 13 gives us the answer, doesn't it? It says, they brought young children to him. And surely this includes mothers. It includes fathers, grandparents, sisters, brothers, friends. The wee word they refers to all who cared for the children. And it refers to you in this congregation this morning. They. And as the Scripture speaks and pronounces an importance on the word they, it includes you. They brought young children to him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see everyone in the church bringing children to Christ? That's a challenge. It's not an impossibility. It might seem something high and fairy in the sky, but it's nothing of the kind. It's a duty, it's a responsibility, and it's a privilege. And we should count it as such. They brought young children to him. What a blessed privilege to bring young children. It includes those who teach the children. Every Sabbath school teacher. What a privilege you have, and responsibility. The privilege is coupled to the responsibility. They both can't be untied. They go together. The children's worker. Everyone has a responsibility. All of us then, surely, for we're all in touch with some children at some time or other. And therefore, we have this great responsibility. How? We ask who brings the children? How do we bring the children? It was, you might say, an easy matter when Christ was here in the days of his flesh. That is because he could be seen. But Christ cannot be seen with the naked eye today. And the question may well arise then, how can we bring children to him? First of all, we must bring them in faith. We cannot see our blessed Lord, but we can see him with the eye of faith. He is with us, and whenever we get together in his name, gather like this here, he is in a very special sense in our midst. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 state very clearly that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst? And as we come together, the church meets on the Sabbath day. The Lord is there. It's his promise, and he will fulfill his promise. He's in the midst. And we can bring our children to the house of God. We can bring our children to Christ by bringing them to the house of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And he's here in a very special manner. He has made a very special pronouncement. The church is his institution. The church is the Lord's body. And when we're gathered together in his name, he's with us. He's in our midst. And what a powerful influence that should be. And we should seek to bring them to Christ by bringing them to the house of the Lord. We can bring our children to the Lord by praying for them. What an opportunity we have, an onerous responsibility to pray. And there is no prayer more powerful than the prayer of a mother or a father for their children. Oh, it might seem that your prayers are going unanswered. It might seem that it goes on for a long period of time. But I tell you something, there's nothing so wonderful and powerful as the prayers of a mother and father for their family. And could I urge you never to give up? Encourage you to pray on. because God answers prayer. You read in the book of the Revelation of the vials in heaven, filled with the odors of the saints. And what does the Lord do? The Lord takes those vials and he pours them out, empties them upon the earth. And what a day it's going to be when the Lord takes the vials that you have filled in heaven with your prayers and empties them upon this earth. That'll make an impact. That'll be a tremendous impact. Are you filling the vials with prayer? Or are you careless and indifferent? Have you given up a long time ago? The vials are only quarter, half full. God's waiting until they're full. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on looking to God. He never fails. He answers prayer. Who and how? But when? When do we bring little ones to Christ, children to Christ? You notice here in Mark 10, verse 13, the word young is mentioned, young children, which literally means little children. Luke tells us that they brought infants in chapter 18 of his book. And we're told that the Lord Jesus took them into his arms. So they must have been very little. Little children. Here then is a question. Is it ever too early to bring our little ones to Christ? Of course the answer is no. You will remember in the Old Testament, the Jewish rite of circumcision was done when the child was 8 days old. Little children, very young. In the Old Testament system, they were introduced to the synagogue and to the ways of God at a very young age. And parents today, don't be discouraged or put off. Make sure that from a very young age, from the cradle, you bring them along to the house of God. You uphold them before the throne of grace. You teach them the reading and teaching of the Word of God. You show to them by example godliness of life, thus bringing your child to the Savior. What a privilege and what a responsibility. And surely that is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." For such is the kingdom of heaven. The majority of people who become Christians come to the Lord Jesus Christ when they're young. If a survey be taken, and surveys have been taken down through the years, and it has been discovered consistently that a high percentage of Christians professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when they were children or young people. The vast majority, the heart is tender, the heart is touchable, the heart is teachable. Oh, don't let us miss the opportunity, because there's a wicked world out there, and it's grasping for the young. It's bringing before them the glittering lights of so-called pleasure, attracting them into the ways of sin, drinking and drugs and all sorts of immorality. And they think, this is the life. This is the way. This is the life of joy and thrill and excitement. But it stings like an adder. And one day it will lead to great disappointment. Oh, the pleasures of sin are only for a season. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but all their waters failed. And even as I stooped to drink, they mocked me as I wailed. None but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love, life, and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Bringing children to Christ. What an important job of work. What a responsibility is upon us. And why do we bring them? We bring them because, as Jesus showed in these three passages of Scripture, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he loves them. Jesus loves the little children. Matter what color, what size, thank God he loves them. And he wants, as these scriptures also demonstrate, to welcome them to him. He took them up in his arms and he blessed them. He welcomes them. Oh, what a welcome for little children. He died on the cross so that these little ones could be saved. And dear friends, the Lord Jesus suffered for boys and girls as much as for adults. His blood atonement avails for children as well as you. Bringing children to Christ. Because also, there's a place in God's kingdom for little children. We were telling you about Zechariah. Zechariah describing heaven as streets are crowded with little children playing. Thank God there are boys and girls in heaven. Going to meet them one day. We're going to be with them. We're going to enjoy their company for all eternity. I want to ask you as a parent, will you be in heaven? I want to ask you as a parent, are you teaching your children the way to heaven? I want to ask you again, what are your priorities in life? What is it you're living for? God has blessed you with children. God has blessed you with parenthood. God has blessed you with a home. He has given you great responsibility. Tell me, how are you going to discharge that responsibility? I commend the reading of these passages of Scripture to you. I ask you to take it down and read it, even read it in the presence of your little ones. Seek the Lord if you don't know him today. Ask him to come into your heart. Repent of your sin. Begin to live the Christian life. Start for heaven today. Begin at the cross. Come just as you are, where you are, even now, in the seat where you sit, and say, Lord, I realize my responsibility. I see how you've blessed me. I'm coming now as a sinner to Christ. Lord, I want to learn to love you and to serve you and to bring my family and children to Jesus Christ.